up on you.
How are we gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting on 860 AM radio, which, as you know, serves southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware with an outstanding signal. Contact your family and friends and invite them to tune in here on 860. If you have Alexa, every Wednesday between 11 and 12, Alexa, 860 AM radio, and you'll be able to get us from wherever you live in the USA. Now, also, I want to let you know that if you are outside of our broadcast range, you can log on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Sometime you'll find the 30-second promo, but then it goes right to our broadcast. So do spread the word to family and friends, because our family of listeners continues to grow. First of all, I want to just say a special thank you to the people who have been helping this broadcast continue in a very sensible manner. As I go around, I hear from a lot of people, and we're going to talk about things that I hear directly from people today, but I want to say a special thank you to each one of them, and they include Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store. And as always, I would like you to look at AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and you'll see Mark's picture, and right next to that picture is a logo, Made in America store. Click on that and you'll see Mark has 10,000 various items that he can send you. You purchase them, he'll send them to you. You'll have them in time for Christmas or whatever your needs are. Also, Larkin Conley is a national small business advocate, someone who's been involved with SCORE for a long time. And he knows a lot about what happened to this great country of ours in the last 30, 35 years. Also with us is Rich Loges, principal of RJL Technology Integration, a person who is very good about presenting facts and figures, and he has a great passion for America and American workers. And our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, always doing a great job. He makes us sound better than better, so that's wonderful. And I'm Michael Blihash, very pleased to be here as your host, and thank you always for spreading the word to your family and friends, because there's nothing better than hearing from people who want to keep this movement going. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today, because some special things are happening. And if you have something to say, you can email me at michael@americanworkersradio.com. You know, I want to tell you this. We have to be prepared for a lot of changes happening in America. I enjoy hearing from people, receiving weekly comments from our commentaries, from our emails, and I'm glad that you're forwarding them to your family and friends. I prepare my weekly commentaries with a lot of the ideas that I receive from listeners. And in our case, communications through email is very good. However, as you know, these days, communicating through email is not always private. So be very careful with your private discussions through email. That's a very, very biggie. But as far as our commentaries and the stuff that you receive from us, always send it out to family and friends. You know, ladies and gentlemen, and panel members and friends, the only way we're going to make change happen in the United States is to change the whole way things are being done right now. It's been going on for more years than I want to even think about. And a lot of abuse has happened, as the people in Washington and various state governments and local councils see that there's not a lot of reaction from the public, the taxpayers, the people that live in the city, the states, and on a federal level, They just seem to go forward with whatever they want to do. Businesses, business leaders, school administrators, America's consumers and taxpayers have to start speaking up. There's no more dancing around. The time for excuses is really over, and it's really time for each and every one of us, you and I, to make the change that we need to get America moving forward again. I want to let you know that if you want to contact your local congressman or senator, there is a spot on our internet site. It's contact your elected leader. It's right next to our symbol, American Workers Radio. It takes, all you have to do is put in your zip code, and then it will give you updated information on who is your representative. Do not be afraid to speak up. I feel that if America doesn't rise up and demand all the positive things that we stand for, like our families, employment opportunities, quality education, and everything else that we need to be a whole people, more and more of this is just going to be washed away. It looks like government wants to take the place of mother and father, sister and brother in this country. I don't see it otherwise, and most of the people I speak with feel that that's how it is. But most of the people that we have listening to our broadcasts and many newer broadcasts that are coming up promoting American workers, and some are going to promote November as American Made Month and even help us with our December Small Business Month, they're all saying that we have to do something to change the way the senators and the congressmen think. It seems that they go there, they vote based upon party line without consideration of how this is happening and going to happen for the good of the people. How are we going to pay for these things? How are we going to justify anything that we're doing? It's a very difficult situation, but it has to be done now. Elections are coming up in various states, and that's going to be in November, and I hope that the people will come out. Just don't say, oh, I don't like this person, I like this person. Go out and give them a vote of confidence, or give them a vote to say goodbye and bring somebody new in. Well, with those few thoughts in mind, I'd like to call on a person who's always at the best of his game, a person who knows what it is, the struggle it takes to run a business, a man who's always in the eye of the public. He has to be in order for him to remain a businessman, and that is Mark Andel. Mark, how are you doing? What's new? And have you contacted your local officials lately?
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? Thanks for having me on again. And, you know, good morning to Rich, and I hope Larkin's on. And Henry, again, thank you. Always making us sound good. Mike, a lot going on. I haven't contacted my local officials lately, but I've been busy. And, you know, again, people, Mike, I've got to tell the audience and the listeners that people are buying American-made. It's great to see. It took a pandemic to wake up everybody, but I'm really seeing it, and people are coming into our stores and saying, wow, you have product. It's great to hear because they're very surprised. But again, our product being made in America, we don't have the shipping container problems. We're not waiting for components overseas because our store is 100% made in America. I realize everybody can't be 100%, but it's great to see the people coming in and going, wow, you've got products. And again, we've got 10,000 products, support 500 privately owned American vendors. But people are actually, you got to slow them down. You got to get them to shop. We got Red Gold tomato sauce from Tim Engel. It's the largest tomato producer in the world in Indiana, and we've got their products. And, you know, people are just realizing we've got more than they thought. But with the pandemic and other places out of products and having shortage problems, and we have in products, is definitely helping our movement. And I just want to say, you know, people are realizing, like, hey, why do you have products? Well, you know, yes, we're behind. It's hard to get. But in the States, again, all our vendors have a great demand. They're proud that they're made in America. They don't have the logistics of waiting for components overseas. But they have a worker shortage. We're working through all that. But I'd like to tell a little story, Mike, of a guy I had on the show. He's a new vendor. The guy's name is Ron Gresko. It's family owned, and Ron's been with his wife's family for 30 years, running this Energel. They make insoles, and Mike, they're in Indiana, Pennsylvania, not too far from you, really. I don't think between you and Pittsburgh, but great guy, and they've been making insoles for 30 years, 100% made in America. Even the NFL buys from them, so a great product, packaged right. But his story, I just talked to him yesterday. And we're just getting him in the store now, but he was in Walmart, and they were in Walmart for 15 years, and things were going well. But Walmart, you're going to love this, Mike. Walmart, because Dr. Scholl is the leader in the insoles, and they led the department for the Walmarts. They had 50 SKU numbers where this gentleman, Ron, with Enter Gelsole, only had two or three SKU numbers. So they let Dr. Scholl lead, but they were asked by Walmart and Dr. Scholl to take the flag off of their packaging. So you heard me right, take the American flag off the packaging on this Energel. And Ron and the family and the business is doing well, said, no, we're not taking the flag off our product. And they actually bowed out and left Walmart in recent years, and I think that's amazing when you hear the push Walmart's supposed to have on American-made products, and but they don't want the American flag on their packaging for Energel, because Dr. Scholl would say no. It might make them look bad, I think was the angle, because Dr. Scholl obviously isn't made here. But hard to believe that story. It's real. It just happened. And I wanted to bring that up, Mike, because I think that's a major problem. We're in the United States of America, and to ask somebody to take a flag, American-made flag, off their packaging is just beyond me.
You know, but Mark, what you're telling me is something I was going to bring up today, because it is terrifying when you see what's going on. A lot of the businesses list in bigger print their main location in the United States, distributed by so-and-so in such a state, but do not make anything in the United States anymore. Places that were making stuff in this country for 50 years, no longer made in the United States of America. In fact, I want to bring up one particular company, and that is Tonka Toys. They were invented and produced in Mound, Minnesota by Mound Metalcraft Company for many years. In recent years, however, they've been pushing more and more foreign-made. Now, I would say it's 100% made in foreign countries, or at least 90% in foreign countries.
Yeah, you talk about Tonka, but we had Fisher-Price Toys. I'm in Alma. East Aurora is 5 minutes from me in western New York. Fisher-Price Toys were born, here and developed here. My mother worked for Foresight, which made components for Fisher-Price. I've talked about this before. And Mattel had bought Fisher-Price, and not a toy made here. It's just crazy. Fisher-Price was, it was the anchor of East Aurora, this small town, very historic town. Very nice, but it's crazy to think that there's not a Fisher Price toy made here. And on that line is this Ron Gresko, 30 years in business, Energel sale. They're selling more of these insoles than ever. And you know what he said? He left Walmart. And obviously Walmart, when Dr. Scholl has more money involved with Walmart and doesn't make their product here, so Dr. Scholl was insulted. They've got this other competition. They've got an American flag on their product, and they're probably getting some heat. But when you hear Walmart, big American-made push, which I never bought into, it's just not true when this guy leaves. But, Ron said we left, and you know what they targeted, Mike, was other American-made businesses. They found us, the Made in America stores, and said, let's sell to the Made in America stores. Let's sell to these other people that sell and push the American-made brand. And you know what he said? We're doing wonderful because he said we've got plenty of sales. You know, we lost the Walmart brand, which had a narrow margin anyhow. And he found other ways in this movement in this time. He said, you wouldn't believe the people picking up their product because they're American-made.
Absolutely. You know, I'd encourage...
It's a great story.
And if it doesn't have to be Tonka, it could be Henry, it could be Mark, it could be Larkin Toys. Let's get some of those trucks and all made in America again. You know, that manufacturing place in Minnesota that made the Tonka toys, I'm sure that town would be helpful in making another toy factory come about with some tax incentives and things like that. Well, there's nobody in the hierarchy trying to encourage this.
Yeah, I'd like to tell you, our green toys, which is made from recycled milk bottle plastic, the milk container plastic, it has to be the white clear plastic, and they're doing phenomenal. Two manufacturing places based in California, green toys, average age for their toy is between 2 to 8, and it's just a wonderful toy, totally safe. Nothing, no China paint on it with lead, nothing. And they are busting at their seams, Mike. We're selling green toys. We got Channel Craft toys right up from your state, Pennsylvania. Educational toys that are wonderful. He's busting at the seams. And we got Maple Landmark, which are educational toys, too. And I'm talking the yo-yos, the original Jumping Jacks, and all these different toys. But green toys are for the younger kids, the fire trucks and the barns. You know, they're doing it, and they're killing it right now because they can get product, and you can't get the foreign toys over here because they missed their shipment and the shipping container shortage. You know, we got woken up when Larkin, and we're always talking about the supply chains we disconnected and all the problems, but logistically, if you don't have product, you don't have sales, and you have issues. And, you know, these American companies are doing it, killing it, and then they're adding automation, 3D printing, additive manufacturing. And if they work it out and the workers, if they can find, it's going to be, we're watching history being made. It's kind of neat, Mike.
Very well said. History is being made. And
yeah,
this
and
is
a
time, this is a time, believe it or not, for us to reverse what's happened in America over the last 35 years. When I talk with business owners, they say, Michael, it's been happening for years. The worst of all this has started in the mid-1990s. Today, our company waits for products from overseas because that's what our merchandisers want us to do. They keep telling us, oh, it's a temporary thing and all. I said, sure, it's a temporary thing, but why can't we, in this process, reinvent some of these businesses right here in the United States of America? Start out small. Start out with 50 or 100 people, and let's get it to grow.
Yep, they've got to have the wine. I want to bring up, too, the travel industry got devastated last year with the pandemic, and nobody was traveling. You couldn't go to attractions. Travel industry is a big part of the United States, and you know it, Mike, being in historic Philadelphia. But, you know, we had one bus last year that people from Buffalo came to see it, come to my little town of Alma. You got a bus? Well, we had 12 buses in the last week, Mike. The buses are coming in from all over. Yesterday I had Wisconsin I welcomed, and we had Dubuque, Iowa. And, you know, we found out a lot of people aren't still accepting the buses, even casinos and whatnot. So they're calling. They remembered they stopped at the store. They heard of us. They want to come see what Americans are making. But they're coming from all distances, out west, Kansas, Nebraska. It's incredible. And we need it. But the tears, the hugs for doing what we do, and they're taking back the coupon code we give them, and they're going to go on websites, but they're going to pull every kid by the ear and say, you buy American. I just can't believe the bus is coming. It absolutely fires us up, but we're getting calls. We have scheduled ones from Dorothy, and a lot of work Dorothy does, but they're calling in. Can we come to your store? Are you open? Will you accept us? Absolutely. And it's just great to see in these last weeks. Of course, it's fall, but great to see the buses back and great Americans coming and really getting it and wanting to do their part and wanting to be part of this movement and realizing what's needed, and we, the people, can make the difference, the consumer. And pretty neat stuff, Mike.
You know, I'm going to ask everybody, this Christmas, make sure you contact Mark Andel's store. It's a very wonderful place. Mark will ship the stuff to you. No dancing around, no complaints. Just hit that link, Made in America Store. It's on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And you'll be very pleased. And, of course, Mark also has a radio show, and you can hear his radio broadcast. It's right under his Made in America store link. This guy has the enthusiasm which America needs and has needed for 35 or 40 years. As our political people, the know-it-alls, people who've never really had a job other than sitting behind the desk, really don't understand what it is to keep anything other than around their desk moving smoothly. They don't know how to pay a bill. They don't know how to, you know, look at the invoices to see if what they got is the right thing and, or just pay it, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know how these people are. It's absolutely unbelievable. When I speak to some of these political people, they are very cautious what they say to me, because I will come back and say, well, 2 weeks ago you said this or that. Now they're getting very, very cautious. I contacted one of the elected officials and I said to him, the stores in Northeast Philadelphia have a lot of empty shelves. And the storekeepers say they can't replace parts on the machinery to deliver the stuff to the stores. There's 1,001 excuses. And he said, well, Michael, these days America looks upon us as a place to sell things, not a place to make things. So that means we just have to wait for the stuff to come in. And I thought to myself, where is this person's mentality? But I was very nice because I didn't want him to, you know, take me off the do not accept this guy's call. So I said, well, I'm going to ask you for your help during November, which is we declared Made in America a month 8 years ago, and we've been promoting it. And he says, well, in doing Made in America, you also have to try to respect all the foreign-made products, you know, giving me the political lingo-dingo. I listened to it, and I thought, well, I'm not going to start with this person, but, you know, let it go. And he says, well, I can get you a proclamation. I said, well, proclamations don't do anything for people. Results do. I drove by getting to your place, and there's a lot of empty stores now. I'd like to see people from your office try to get people to come back and fill those stores. Maybe get some of those manufacturers that filled Route 13 for many years. Now those places are vacant. Now people are going to put apartments or Section 8 housing. I said, we don't need any of that. We need people to work. W-O-R-K is not a bad four-letter word. Yes.
Yeah, just out of China is a long drive to work.
Oh, this guy, I'm telling you. Well, it's very short. The election, we'll hear the results very soon, because November the 2nd is the election in Pennsylvania. So we'll see what's going to happen with this individual. Mark, can I turn to Larkin Connolly? Larkin Doctor, you've been listening to us. What do you think with some of the stuff we've been discussing?
Interesting. I'm gonna make the same comment. You're probably going to raise your eyebrows and tell Henry to cut off my mic. But we talk about the same thing every week. And it reminds me of an axiom that I was taught in the process of becoming a good parent. I explained to my son, to my children, really, one by one, that I do not plan as your father to prepare the road of life for you. Can't do it, not going to do it, and it would be time misspent. I am going to spend my time preparing you for the road. And they caught that. I mean, I think they understood that immediately. My job isn't to fix the road for them. My job is to fix them and prepare them to navigate the road. So in that same vein, my comment to the audience and to the listeners would be, we've got to start thinking differently. We are not going to solve the supply chain problem any faster than the second quarter of 2023. Now, that's my prediction.
No, Lurkin, what makes the supply chain going to get better by 2023?
Everything will have caught up.
I know, but...
What you're looking at in the supply chain is that, A, the receivers of the supply chain are a whole bunch of American companies who need the components produced offshore to build whatever it is they're building, from trucks to whatever. And by the way, I don't think, other than the ones that Mark has contacted, I don't think any of the major companies, including Mattel, build any toys in America anymore.
Should they, Larkin?
Could they? Why? If I'm the chairman of the board of Mattel Toy Company, you're going to have a hell of a time telling me that I need to bring the toys back to America because I believe and stand for the American country. Oh, by the way, my shareholders, I don't give a damn about them. I'm charged with improving my shareholders' lives and the value of their investment in my company. You can't. You're dreaming if you think that everybody's going to... I mean, I'll even say it. And don't listen to me carefully. I'm as patriotic as you are. I really am. And you're one of the great patriots that I know. But...
Larkin.
We're blowing wind here.
But Larkin.
Mark.
We reached this point in 35 years. Do we continue on this road where we sell America to the world, or do we try to get a competitive edge on certain products so that we can have jobs and stability and a future? And by the way, research and development, all that we have is so many universities in this great country, and yet 90% of the research and development, Larkin, is done overseas. Why is that? And the reason is, I'm going to tell you the reason. I'm going to give you the answer. The reason is, why should they take stuff and pay our people in America for research and development when they can pay a third of it in a foreign country and be happy? A third of it. So we're killing ourselves at our own hand.
Michael, listen to me for a second. Research and development is the backbone of the supply chain.
But that's all done foreign.
Oh, what? Why?
It's not done in America.
Listen to me. I wonder why the supplier to Ford Motor Company, who was making the component software to make that truck run, sold the technology and ownership to the Chinese. Why? Because they have no intentions of bringing that back to this country.
Okay, Larkin.
Not whatsoever. It's just too inconvenient.
Okay, Larkin. Is it possible that some American could have a competitive technology which they start here in America on their own? It doesn't have to be that particular, as long as it's a little bit off.
Wait a second. I got a guy sitting here, Elon, come here. I want you to, have you ever heard of Elon Musk?
Yes.
Sure, we're as creative as we've ever been.
But Larkin, I love this conversation. And you know why I love it? Because number one, we're talking about what happened to America in the boardrooms of America. That's representing maybe a million Americans. Outside of the boardrooms lives 325 million Americans. And nobody's concerned about the people outside the boardrooms, but the people inside the boardrooms are concerned about themselves and their profit.
I can't imagine being more lost when you discuss capitalism and entrepreneurship. I can't imagine, Michael, you being much more wrong than you are.
Larkin.
It's not the way it works.
Larkin.
Look up capitalism and read it.
Larkin,
not a bad word.
I understand that. But in capitalism, they're getting the money. Are they giving any money to help address poverty in America? We have 36 million. Well, okay. Why? So then why should we continue to support those big corporations? Let's support the little guys that are here in this country, the people that Mark is doing business with them. Let's double and triple their
give me a chance? You keep on running your mouth and you don't know what you're talking about.
No.
I'm here to tell you. Listen to me right now. We don't have those parts because we don't have the wherewithal to build them. We have lost the infrastructure that is capable of building this. And nobody cares. Certainly nobody on the free enterprise side. They just don't care. So we can sit around and marvel at our ability to slice and dice everything that got America into the position that it's in right now. That doesn't fix a thing. And when somebody on a corporate level would say to me, Mr. Connelly, we got a problem, I wanted to hear where the problem came from, but that wasn't my first question. My first question is, who do we have to fix it? And how do we fix it? And in the process of fixing that, you have to analyze, how did you get here? What created this? What created it? Was this isn't an indictment of anybody or anything. What created this is the fact that we have a workforce in America that makes a good wage. We have a workforce in America that's unionized and has benefits. We have a government that's now going to educate all their kindergartners. We have a government that's going to give them free college. And this makes this a very valuable worker. How are you going to get a man who worked in a Ford plant to come back and rebuild a new kind of car or a new electric car or whatever and say, listen, in order to be able to do this and compete on a world stage, we can't pay you much over $9.50 an hour. I mean, that's just, in Mexico, they don't even pay that. So what's the problem? The problem is we have an educated, functioning, coordinated, intelligent, hardworking workforce that can't find work. So we have to create the work. And creating that work is by thinking differently. It's applauding the green toy companies and the wigwam socks. It's applauding those people that stuck with us and supporting them in every way that we possibly can. But it's not the long-term answer. I love wigwam. As a matter of fact, they started to talk about a sock company on ABC News the other night, and I said to my wife, this is wigwam, this is wigwam. And it wasn't, unfortunately. It was another company in Pennsylvania or someplace. But we just keep on talking like we're going to be able to wave this wand and make things change. No, we are going to have to change the way we think. We're going to have to change the way we do things. It's not cherry-picking time anymore. The 50s and 60s were cherry-picking time. We were the only people that had factories. We were the only people that had trained employees. And now the rest of the world has said, how did America get as good as they are? How did this all happen? That's because we brought Americans into the picture as far as building things was concerned. Now, all of a sudden, we're being challenged on every level by every country in the world that we can do it just as well, and our employees are going to be just as successful as anybody else's employees are. And that's the raw fact.
Okay, so Larkin, I agree. Larkin, I agree with all that you're saying. In other words, we took the American people, what you're saying in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, up to the peak of the mountain. Coming down the mountain is being rough right now because others have reached the peak of the mountain themselves. That's unfortunately where we are. The big question is, how do we get more businesses to expand here in the United States? Maybe they don't have to be run by some big corporate executives in a big meeting room. majority of the businesses coming up here, even in our Philadelphia tri-state area, are smaller outlets. They're specialty outlets. People like the people that Mark Andel's dealing with. They're not interested in outreaching to the world and going 10 states. They're supplying a product for local use.
I understand that.
Those are the kinds of people we are trying to encourage so that they don't get discouraged by big corporate America or the people in Washington standing there at the podiums telling people, and we're going to give you this and we're going to give you that. Larkin, let me ask you this. Why did we have to raise the debt limit in America?
Well, simply because if we hadn't raised the debt level in America, the world would have gone broke.
No, that's not the reason. The reason we've raised the debt limit in this country for many, many years is because we're not taking enough tax dollars in to pay the bills that have to be paid on a regular basis.
When did we ever have that condition?
That was 30 years ago.
Thirty years ago,
our debt was very, very small. There was no reason to raise the debt limit on everything in the country. It was on certain things, maybe education.
That's why every time anybody mentions Bill Clinton's name, I really do make a sign of the cross. This man took us completely out of debt. Did he do it personally? No, not really. It was a natural phenomenon that occurred when we had the dot-com era. But guess what? He managed it very, very, very well. And as much money as we had coming in, and I'm telling you, we had gobs of money in, he paid back the debt, he got us back in order, and he proved to the country and to the unions and to the workforce and to the small business people that what has to happen in order to be successful is you have to have thriving businesses.
Right.
You cannot do it without thriving businesses.
Right.
So how do we get thriving businesses? That's what we should be talking about, not about what happened 30 years ago.
Larkin, having thriving businesses in the United States, it's not, a lot of them are not going to be these gigantic companies wanting located in 50 states. They don't want to do that anymore. Everybody wants to be in their own little world. And if they do outreach, it happens by request, not by hiring salesmen to go out and sell our name and our brand. It doesn't. Most people that I speak with are the kinds of people that Mark has dealings with. I speak to them.
Good conversation. Good stuff going on. But Clinton era, that's interesting, Larkin. Thriving businesses, and it makes me think. See, with Donald Trump's administration, I had all my military projects, Northrop Grumman strong. Now 400 vendors are out of work with Northrop Grumman, including me, on a joint threat emitter system in the JEDI program. Right now it's on pause, and the oil and mining work for me has dried up. That's half our business. And you had a talk. It was thriving with Donald Trump's administration. Business was. It's just a fact. We would have been rock and roll, and I'd probably be out of debt in a year or two. There's an answer, too. If you've become self-sufficient with oil mining, that was good. But now an administration change didn't believe in that way. So these big swings are really hurting the growth of this country.
That's right. And, you're going to see something coming up in the next 4 months, which is going to be mind-boggling. The price of energy is going to go up tremendously. Now, on the federal level, normally they go up very little on Social Security. But in order to help the recipients of Social Security, they're trying to raise this year's increase by 5%. That would help the people to pay the unbelievable cost of gas and oil and prices at the market. That's supposed to be their plan. But it's just putting more and more of us in debt. They're not addressing the issue as to why we're not having the flow of oil coming into the country as we did. A price of gas in Philadelphia went up by $1.20 in less than 9 months. $1.20. Larkin, is that at some big corporate office where they're saying, well, this is a good time to raise the price? We have no. How was it all of a sudden within 30 days, of the election and the inauguration, the price of oil jumped at the pump 20 cents? That was done in a court, in a corporate setting. Hey, it's time. Let's get it going.
Okay. It happened for two reasons. The refinery management has not been good. It's been a result of understanding that a significant percentage of our supply comes out of East Texas. And East Texas has been hit three times this year with storms. And a storm will take out a refinery faster than you know, and they try to get it built back up. So that's interrupted the supply. But that's not why we are in the position that we're in right now. We're simply in the position that we're in right now because in order to gain votes, and in one of the most stupid, and I mean just downright flat stupid moves that I've ever seen made by an elected official, our president, for no reason other than spite, closed down the Keystone Pipeline.
Insanity.
Executive orders.
Total insanity. No one individual in this country should be allowed to do that. It's insanity.
I'm wondering how long this guy can survive as president. I'm not kidding.
Larkin, a lot my industries were affected, like it or not, like Trump or not, or Biden. Administration changed my life, my business, and my income. Absolutely.
Now, Larkin, I want to ask you one more thing, and I'm going to bring Rich in. They allowed in corporate, big corporate offices and big tables where all these huffy-duffy woofs were sitting around smoking cigars and drinking martinis. They allowed the infrastructure of America to die so they could keep bringing this stuff in from foreign countries. Our infrastructure is terrible. It's terrible. Well, every storm that passes through shows us that all of our drainage and all is old. It should have been fixed 30, 40 years ago. Not all of a sudden now be a problem when we've experienced some additional storms this year. There's no leadership in the country for 30 years. That's my point, and that is what it is. And you're watching. Wait, Larkin, you're watching some of the goings on in Washington. Is there anybody giving you an idea or an answer to help any of this?
Okay, you've switched gears on me three times, but I'm going to go back to originally. I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
Are the people or smoking cigars, the huffy duffies?
Yes.
Are they the same? Are they the same guys that are doing the political lingo dingo?
Well, no, but they are the same guys supporting those doing the political lingo dingos. Or these people wouldn't be able to return to their office year after year after year. They're getting the money. It takes money to have all that influence.
There's no accountability.
No accountability. You're right.
There's no accountability because the American voter doesn't give a damn. But they don't give a damn. They really don't care because, you know, everybody's living on, I'm living here on Phoenicia Drive. Everybody's got a nice home. The value's almost doubled.
Okay, Larkin.
Of real estate. Everything seems to be hunky-dory.
I'm going to ask you a question. You did well in your life. You were a very hard worker. You're from a school of thinking where you look out for your family and your wife and your future. Will your children and my children be able to do that if things continue the way they are in America right now?
Because I think, listen, the entire world wants to criticize America, but there isn't a swinging whatever in the world that wouldn't give their family jewels up to be able to come to this country. None of them. So it's easy to stand on the outside and criticize the inside, but the inside's where everybody wants to be. And of course, when you take a look at the vase, or when you take a look at the rain meter, it's filling up pretty quick. We're just, we're, you know, listen, you want to be entertained? Listen to Dr. Fauci, the wonderful Dr. Fauci, who says, who dismissed any concerns about COVID-19 coming across the border.
Right.
But says that it's too early for him to predict whether we're going to have Christmas or not.
Right, right. But see,
he actually explained. Now, this is what I'm saying. There's no accountability for this Fauci guy.
Well, no, but
this guy has never faced in the right direction since they have known him, and that, I guess, is when COVID started. He's the highest paid individual in the government, and highest, federal, local, wherever you want to go. He gets more. He makes more money than anybody. But nobody says, Dr. Fauci, what all of a sudden you're saying that we're letting thousands of people in the southern border who have not been checked for COVID, they're coming from a country primarily, from a country where the D variant even was started, and I don't get it. But he's a political beast. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what he says. I mean, he is an embarrassment. He is an absolute embarrassment.
You're right.
But the problem is nobody holds
it's him all recorded.
It's recorded, yeah, Mark. And you know what else? It just seems that the national media ignores it all because he is some kind of a god in their eyes, and he's really not. He's not. He's talking nonsense, but not giving any real solutions.
You find anything that the Republicans put forward, and I think the Republicans got as many, if not more, problems than the Democrats do right now. I don't know. The Democrats really painted themselves into a corner. This midterm election coming up in 2022, it's going to be the coming of the second. It's going to be so overwhelming. And the only way that it can't be is if the unions who are organized get out there and say, listen, you need to vote Democrat no matter what. Yeah, we're making some mistakes, but we'll fix them. And if the American public, and it kind of kills me that the left, Democrats and Republicans, say, there's no reason in the world why you should refuse to carry a COVID-19 card that completely registers whether you've taken the vaccinations and where you are with those. But in the same breath, some of them don't even take a breath. They say, whoa, you want me to carry an election registration card?
Right.
You want me to carry ID that says I can vote? What is crazy? You know what? We're so lost in this country, it's not funny.
Well,
we have completely lost, and the only way we're going to get it back is to suggest changes like make ESOPs the next popular thing. Let's talk to some banks and get ESOPs, which is employee stock option programs, where these guys, or a bank will say, yeah, we'll start it. Who you got here? Oh, okay, so you're the owner. So you're holding 51% of the stock. The other 50% of the stock is going to be held by these 17 people here who are the employees, and you're all working towards one mission, which is to make a profit and to enjoy the things that you're accomplishing and getting done in life.
Larkin, that is the key, what you just said, because our people just go to work. They don't have anything like that. They need something where they are investors.
Well, and there are a lot of people that don't want to be investors, and that's fine too.
But they can be silent investors, you know, where the they have to have something to motivate them to support their own. They have to look out for their children, their grandchildren, the overall future of their neighborhood, their family, our country. This is not being discussed in Congress. All that's being discussed, it's not being discussed by big businesses, small businesses. It's being discussed by people like us. Believe it or not, today's conversation was historic. It was good. I enjoy it because we're able to say things. You may agree, I may disagree. I go out and I know what's going on in the business world. I go purposely to talk to people. I had a very good experience. The battery on my leaf blower is starting to die. So I went to one of the major hardware stores, which I'm not going to mention, and I asked if they had a battery, and they said, no, we haven't had them in about 4 months. We're waiting for our supply. And I looked and I said, where are they made? And they said, well, they're definitely not made in America. So I thought, okay. So he said, but if you order online, you might get it in 60 days, which would be about the same time we'll be getting them when the foreign shipment arrives in America.
Michael, can I?
Yes, Rich, I didn't forget about you. We got involved. Yeah. I'm glad Larkin was in. Oh,
well,
boy, I enjoy those kind of discussions.
Well, you know, good morning, first off, to everyone. And there's actually a couple points Larkin mentioned that I want to bring up. You know, Larkin a few minutes ago talked about, hey, living in a nice place, increased property values. Sounds like utopia. What could go wrong? Right, Mark? Except the only problem, Michael, as, I don't know, like 5 million years has shown. I mean, 5 million years is probably a pretty good amount of time to know if something works or doesn't, right, Mark? 5 million years? Probably enough time.
That's
right?
Good. That's a good sample.
That's good. You know, 5 million. In 5 million years of man, the only problem with utopia is its final act isn't actually happily ever after, Michael. It's anarchy. And while I'm not saying Larkin's wrong, because none of us are clairvoyants here, and I'm not saying Larkin is necessarily wrong about 2022, but I want to offer an alternative way of thinking about it. I don't think it's unlikely that there is a groundswell forming where we might see a nationwide revolt against the Republican Party next year. I actually think it's got all the makings, Larkin. I'm talking about a Newt Gingrich-style revolt, but for the Democrats. So while 2022 could be a very good year for Republicans in certain areas across the country, I actually think it's just as likely that it could be quite the opposite. And there's a whole host of reasons for that, which maybe we can get into next week, because I see in the first 10 months of the Biden presidency, by every measure and metric, it's the worst first 10 months of any presidency in American history.
Oh, I agree.
But I also want, but I wonder if the opposition party is actually just as bad, though. So if one side is historically bad and the other side is historically bad, they sort of wash each other out. So we could talk about it perhaps next week, Michael, but there are right now, to use that term, the hill to die on, there are two hills that the Republican Party right now, they have decided that they're willing to die on. The first is public health, and the second is, do my votes even count anymore? If the Republican Party dies on just one of those hills, then you could put the party in with the dinosaurs in the Smithsonian. If they die on both of them, there's no coming back. we will have witnessed in real time the death of one of our major political parties. So they've decided to die on, you see, the Republican Party thinks that they're dying on the hill of COVID. They're not. They're dying on the hill of public health, which is not a political issue at all. But they've also chosen to die on the hill of this rabbit hole that votes don't count. And whatever flaws we might have in some of our elections here or there because they're human run, the reality is that Donald Trump did not win the election, period. So the longer that the party keeps that delusion going, the more it's digging its own grave, to use that example. So all these issues are that we talk about, you know, they're really important, right? Supply chain, Made in America. You know, Mark, you're one of the rare people who actually does what you say. And I'm honestly tired of Republican politicians telling me about all their principles, because here's what I've learned about the Republican Party, just like the Democrats, Larkin. They're for something until they're not, and they're against something until they are. That's what I've learned. And so right now there's two hills that they're willing to die on, and if they die on one of them, they will be totally electorally routed next year. If they die on both of the hills, that our votes don't count, and public health, then you could say goodbye to the Republican Party. It will be finished. It will be done.
Rich, is it time for a third party?
And then we will have come, full circle on everything that the people a mile away from you, Michael, warned about, which is a simple majority democracy. That right there is the final act of utopia.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. That's it. I just laid out for you what happens. And in every single example in the history of mankind, I have 5 million years of evidence. How much time do you guys have as evidence? What I know is that in 5 million years of evidence, no democracy's ever lasted. Period.
Gentlemen.
So to be continued.
I enjoy today's conversation because this is the kind of conversation that should be happening on all the nationwide talk stations, not the I got you and criticizing and you should have did this. Talk common sense issues to bring our country back to where we should be, to bring our households back to where they should be, and to eliminate poverty in the great United States of America. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. May God bless you and your families. Go out and support American Made. And if they don't have American Made, maybe you don't need it. Dovidzenia. See you. Bye-bye.
Have a great week, guys.